Third episode. Sabir's body. Then Ambrosius Lemma appeared. Martinus cowered submissively without Ambrosius Lemma speaking to him. His natural authority also had its effect. The three Chinese people in the next room, who had been busy bustling back and forth, also briefly paused in their work and bowed inconspicuously to the doctor. Sabir, I have to explain a few things to you, he said, now much friendlier than before. Sabir felt her armpits sweating again. Lemma complimented Martinus with a sideways glance. By the way, he's our technician. He's down here servicing the care robots we're developing. He oils her joints, cleans her surface, and ensures that the sensors work well. The old man is of little use for anything more. But he has a bit of skill in terms of craftsmanship. Completely different from the three Chinese people over there. His voice became a little quieter. They are researchers and programmers, and they program empathy. Excuse me, Sabir stammered. Yes, you heard right. We want to bring assistive devices onto the market that can also develop feelings, just like you and me. For this I risk career, capital and life. The Elfenberg Nursing and Retirement Center is my experimental biotope, he said with shining eyes, and one day we'll get there. Someday, Sabir. Now please come with me. You're definitely in the mood for a coffee. A cappuccino with Dr. Lemma. Sabir couldn't resist. Her house was forgotten, the catacombs were forgotten, the bizarre surroundings and the replica Mrs. Hull were forgotten. Sabir only wanted one thing, to spend a little time with Ambrosius Lemma and to listen to him while he let her in on his big plans. They stepped out into the corridor, it was now dimly lit. Lemma pushed open another door and Sabir found herself in a cozy room. Comfortable sofas, colorful seating balls, dimmed lights, a gigantic stereo system, a kitchenette, and not even a fireplace was missing. However, how this was done underground was a mystery to Sabir. Make yourself comfortable, Sabir. She didn't have to be told twice. She took off her shoes and sat on the front edge of the sofa. She was tense. On the one hand, she liked Ambrosius Lemma paying attention to her, and his presence made her nervous. On the other hand, there were questions that needed to be clarified, but it would probably be best if he just told the story. The coffee machine whirred and Sabir soon had a foaming cup in front of her. She sipped her coffee with pleasure. Ambrosius Lemma sat down opposite her and looked at her thoughtfully. You remember Lobo, the prototype, he began the conversation. Sabir didn't like to remember this horrible moment. When Mr. Rothenbuhler's daughter's bones shattered, she was there because she had supported Miss Elsenmeyer with her silk painting. They all jumped because of the screams and were forced out of the room minutes later by security at Elfenberg. Shortly afterwards they had to take a vow of silence in front of the assembled management. No one was allowed to know what had happened that afternoon. The Elfenberg Nursing and Retirement Center enjoyed an excellent reputation. Most residents, but also visitors, had gotten used to care robots taking over activities of daily life and supporting the sometimes helpless people. Basically, they all knew it. The country was short of 130,000 full-time senior care positions. Hardly anyone was willing to get involved in this charitable and strenuous job anymore. The state, and to a certain extent even the ethics committee, had moved to approve electronic nursing aids for daily mobilization and basic care. There wasn't much else left. Lobo's hourly rate was 445 francs, which was more than affordable for any management. But Ambrosius Lemma's ambition continued. Spurred on by the tragic event with Lobo, he wanted to develop a form of robot that worked with feeling. He wanted to create creatures that were in no way inferior to humans. Of course, it was a long way to get there. In addition, the development cost millions upon millions, and to this day no one has succeeded in giving life to nursing robots. The soul was the concern of theologians, and this is where Ambrosius Lemma's idea came into play. A few kilometers from the Elfenberg Care and Retirement Center was a medieval monastery that had been restored by the Catholic convent with a lot of financial resources and brought into modern times. Father Zeno, a portly older gentleman, resided above the monastery. His comfortable appearance belied his sharp, analytical nature. Father Zeno and Ambrosius Lemma had known each other for many years and met each other for the first time in the Nonnenfortune, the monastery's own health food store. A real friendship never developed because the two men were too different for that. But mutual interest did develop, and after several conversations, they now looked for a way to inspire technical nursing assistants for the benefit of everyone. Lemma contributed his medical knowledge as a doctor, the Chinese scientists contributed the latest technology, and Father Zeno looked for ways to breathe spiritual life into the devices. A lot of money had already gone into building the catacombs and expanding the laboratory and examination rooms. Numerous investors were involved in the strictest secrecy: manufacturers of medical devices, research laboratories, computer companies such as Digital Emotion, Laser Sculpture, and clothing companies. Ambrosius Lemmer explained all this to the speechless Sabia, and she didn't miss the fact that he leaned in thoughtfully towards her. Did he really trust her? And what did she have to do with the whole thing? Like everyone else, she had signed a confidentiality agreement after the unfortunate incident with Lobo, but had assumed that she could now continue working normally and was freed from the horrors of that afternoon. Now it's about your part, Sabia. Her heart was pounding. We are replicating some of the nursing home staff, as you have just seen. And also some of the residents. I think Ms. Hull did particularly well for us. His eyes flashed proudly. Now it's about you. So yes. Ambrosius Lemmer wanted to model Sabia and put her in a tunic, as was done with Sister Kathy's avatar, and then we will give you souls, he said mysteriously. As soon as your digital twin is completed, you can go back to your house, change there and then start working in the Elfenberg completely normally. I'll tell you in due course why the underground passages reach your house and the farm of the twin brothers Nathan and Martinus. Are you now ready to be modeled? How is that supposed to work? Sabia cleared her throat embarrassedly. Nibble something and we'll see what happens next, said Ambrosius Lemmer, but he could hardly hide his nervousness. He took a pretzel roll with salami out of a small refrigerator and handed it to Sabia. Here. You have to eat, my love. Hungry, Sabia bit into the sandwich and it tasted wonderful. But she had so many questions that she didn't even know where to start. What happened to this Father Zeno? Why all the secrecy? Why were some of the care staff and some of the residents replicated? What was behind the whole idea? Was she confronted with madmen or with geniuses? Come now, Ambrosius Lemmer asked Sabia. This followed him mechanically. What a mysterious man he was. He had gained her trust. Behind the ambitious doctor there was probably a warm-hearted, considerate person. Sabia's infatuation almost took her breath away. They returned to the room with the white examination table. It was deserted and there was no sign of the three Chinese scientists. Mrs. Hull had also disappeared, as if she had never been there. What Sabia had seen shortly before now seemed unreal, like a hallucination. Ambrosius Lemmer pushed one of the two headless figures next to the examination table. Although she had hints of feminine curves, she was nothing more than a model that wanted to be designed. Countless cables, sensors and flashing lights surrounded Ambrosius Lemmer's feet, Sabia now noticed. We work with blue lasers, he explained. This laser will now scan your body and transfer your profile to this figure here, he pointed respectfully to the model next to the table. A beautiful Sabia will be here in about 30 minutes, he assured her with a wink. Sabia felt dizzy, she was so excited now. Again she felt droplets of sweat running down her armpits and her palms tingled. Would she have to take off her clothes? Ambrosius Lemmer answered her thought. Take off your clothes now, Sabia, I'll go into the next room in the laboratory until you're ready. Sabia took a deep breath. Should she really embark on this experiment? What if someone entered the room in the meantime? Maybe one of the Chinese or, at worst, Martinus. She was torn between natural shame and equally natural curiosity. She urgently wanted to find out more about the mega project, and the easiest thing would be if she became part of it. With these thoughts in mind, she slowly, still hesitantly, pulled her pale blue sweater over her head and unbuttoned her blouse. As she fiddled with the bra clasp, Ambrosius Lemmer was back. I'm just adjusting the laser, he justified his presence and discreetly lowered his gaze as Sabia took off her bra. She slipped out of her jeans and hesitantly took off her panties. Lemmer avoided staring, but the tension in the room was palpable. That's good, Sabia. Now the socks. Then you can lie down. Ambrosius Lemmer disappeared behind a work table on which three large monitors stood. The table was tightly wired and Lemmer worked on various keyboards and a switching device. From there he controlled the blue laser that would transfer Sabia's body texture to the plastic model. The table was more comfortable than Sabia had imagined. The white material adapted to her body and was pleasantly warm. The room temperature was also more than bearable. Sabia snuggled up on her mat. She was glad that Ambrosius Lemma disappeared into the semi-darkness behind the work table. However, she didn't even want to know what the monitors showed him about her. Sabia also lay in the twilight, the large lamp above the examination table remained switched off. Then Ambrosius Lemma aimed the blue laser at Sabia's neck. It was dead quiet. Lemma took a deep breath. Ambrosius Lemma found it increasingly difficult not to stare at Sabia, who was lying there naked. The images that the monitors reflected were high resolution. There were no secrets there. Dr. Lemma was torn between medical and scientific professionalism and natural male desire. He chose professionalism and looked at him in awe. Sabia's digital twin appeared as if by magic and stood on a glass plate to the side of the examination table. The material actually moved, as if it were liquid, and Sabia's neck was recreated in great detail. The jugular veins were also not missing. The rays of light continued to dance, and from minute to minute the model torso transformed into Sabia's image. Lemma controlled the laser with concentration. The blue light danced across Sabia's incisura jugularis, then the laser moved over the curves of Sabia's shoulders. The light circled her breasts several times, transferring their exact shape and texture to her double. The laser also mercilessly felt the rolls of fat on Sabia's stomach and hips. The contours of the bust became increasingly sharper, every detail of Sabia's physique was transferred. Sabia's mons pubis, her thighs and her knees, especially at the hinged joints, which was also the case when Sabia's elbow was felt, the light rotated for a particularly long time. As Sabia knew from her anatomy lessons, hinge joints are among the more complex structures of the human skeleton. The laser not only transmits images to the external structure of your body, but also to your skeleton and internal organs, said Dr. Heer Lemma. In order to supply it with enough energy, it would almost need its own small power plant. I'm sorry, Sabia, that because of our experiments in your house you temporarily had no electricity for the boiler, had to take cold showers and possibly read by candlelight. Sabia shuddered. Then the dancing light caught Sabia's feet. She was an extremely well-groomed woman, and she had inherited her slender ankles from her mother. She was careful to make sure the balls of her feet were soft. For Sabia, this had something to do with quality of life. She was then asked to turn onto her stomach. The laser scanned the curve of her spine, the small of her back, Sabia's Michaelis rhombus, the gluteus maximus, the upper and lower legs, and the soles of her feet. Basically, Sabia was ashamed that Ambrosius Lemma didn't hide her butt, which he found to be too big. But she pushed aside the shame and only felt curiosity growing inside her. Contrary to Sabia's assumption, Ambrosius had focused primarily on her feet when looking at the monitors, and not on her secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Lemma was of the opinion that well-groomed feet significantly improved people's quality of life and also their state of health. The risk of falling was also reduced if someone paid attention to their feet. Lemma was convinced that thanks to the foot care standard that he had developed with the support of Sabine, the home podiatrist and a few nurses, the risk of accidents was reduced and health costs could therefore be contained. Ambrosius Lemma was also involved in an intimate and oral care standard. People who paid attention to these three body zones were happier, prouder, more open and also more cheerful than their counterparts. Now some statistics show that many nursing homes still have blind spots when it comes to oral, intimate and foot care. Rotting tooth stubs, coated tongues, neglected intimate areas and feet where small maggots live in the areas between the toes, bitter everyday life in long-term care and especially for people who still live at home even in old age. The scan is complete, you can get up and get dressed again, Ambrosius' voice came from the half-dark part of the room. At that moment, Sabia would have given anything to see the expression on his face. But no matter how hard she tried, she could only see the contours of Ambrosius' body as he stood motionless behind the work table. Could it really be that Ambrosius was completely unaware of Sabia's nakedness? Wasn't he a bit confused when he let his eyes wander over her flawless body during the scan? Sabia had felt his eyes on her body several times during the process. She found the idea of him caressing her almost real. How he gently, lovingly ran his hands over her face, neck, breasts and stomach down to her pelvis. Just the thought of his hands on her naked body made her tingly. Sabia wanted nothing more than for Ambrosius to desire her or even love her. In their wildest dreams they were lovers. It was like the fairy tales that her grandmother Marion used to read to her when she was a child. The perfect life full of love, happiness and contentment. Ambrosius was the man of her dreams. In Sabia's mind he lived up to all her expectations. An intelligent, innovative, hungry for success, but also an understanding, tender and lovable man. He would treat her like a princess, guard and protect her. But the most important thing about her dream, he was her husband. But did Ambrosius really correspond to the picture she had painted of him? Or did he have another side, a dark one, that lay dormant within him? Did she even want to find out, or would she rather close her eyes to the truth? His machinations here in the catacombs didn't really strengthen her faith in him. The more she thought about it, the more bizarre it all seemed to her. There were many gaps. The explanations Sabia had received did not satisfy her at all and left a bad taste in her mouth. Now good advice was expensive. As is often the case in difficult times, she longed for Marion, her grandmother. She had always been there to help and advise her. Her grandmother had been Sabia's rock since she was a child. After her death, Sabia's world collapsed. Her confidant and advisor died along with her grandmother. She rose from the lounger and took her first look at her digital twin. What she saw was incredible, the perfect reproduction of herself. "Thank you, Sabia," Ambrosius added in a hoarse voice. He had stepped out of the shadows and was handing her her blouse. Ambrosius couldn't take his eyes off Sabia's curves. His professional composure was blown away. He couldn't think of anything else but touching her. He absolutely had to get his desire under control. Ambrose had to keep a clear head if his research was to be successful. In this case, distractions of a sexual nature were completely inappropriate and taboo. Father Zeno had expressed himself very clearly. He didn't tolerate any lapses in concentration. In order to achieve their goal, everyone involved had to be more than 100% committed to the task. But what exactly was the goal? In the evening, the entire team would meet with Father Zeno in the monastery to plan the next steps. There was a lot to discuss. The project was not going as planned. Not at all. They were thrown back again and again. The setbacks put a strain on the team's mood and strained their nerves. But Ambrosius had never been one to give up easily. Always look positively into the future, that was his life motto. There is a solution to all adversities and problems, otherwise you would have to help your luck. To be successful, he used every means possible. It had paid off, otherwise he wouldn't be where he was today. In the meantime, Sabia had gotten dressed again. But because her digital twin was standing stark naked, she felt as naked as before. "Well," she thought, "I'm probably not the first woman he's seen." "Sabia," said Dr. Lemma, gives her the word, "now it's time for the most challenging part. We have to recreate your head." Sabia sighed inaudibly. She was hungry, the time had moved on, and she was beginning to wonder where she would spend the night. She now considered her house uninhabitable, but wanted to get there as soon as possible to sort out some personal belongings. As if Ambrosius Lemma could read her mind, he offered her another sandwich. Sabia took a grateful bite. While Ambrosius Lemma there when Sabia left to get more food, she looked around more closely. The situation was so surreal that she shuddered. Where on earth was Mrs. Hull's copy? Would her own double suffer a similar fate? Would her avatar also simply disappear like that? Ambrosius Lemma rolled up a table with a bulge while Sabia chewed. There was a kind of glass hood on the table, which in turn was tightly wired. There were sensors attached to this hood that would scan Sabia's face. "Our problem at the moment is the eyes and the hair," explained Ambrosius Lemma. "It's difficult to recreate human hair and the eyes. You can imagine that." Again he referred to Father Zeno. This had to have a powerful influence on Ambrosius Lemma. "You look straight into a woman's soul through your eyes," he said seriously. "During medical school, I learned that eyes are nothing more than the visible protuberance of the central nervous system or the brain. But for me they are more, much more. Sister Kathy's eye scan was a complete failure," he sighed, disappointed. "That's why Father Zeno almost revoked my mandate. You've seen them, these lifeless and inhumane flashing lights. Those aren't eyes. This is just soulless technology. But Father Zeno wants an animated being, a robot. At the same time, he has the absurd belief that only men have souls. But I'm counting on you, Sabir. With these words he once again started working on a switching mechanism, a kind of mixing console. He asked Sabir to push her upper body into the dent and hold her head still under the glass hood. Sabir's pulse skyrocketed. It was scanned again with a laser. "Keep your eyes open, please," said Ambrosius Lemma emphatically. Apparently they had reached a crucial point. Sabir was surprised that she wasn't blinded by the laser light and knew without being able to look that a soulless plastic head, analogous to her body, was gradually taking shape. Ambrosius Lemma took the greatest care in the head scan and worked with concentration for almost an hour. Then he jumped out from behind his desk. "Yes," he said. "Yes, yes." The eye scan was apparently successful. There was now not only a reproduction of Sabir's body, but also one of her head, although currently without hair. "Just look," Ambrosius Lemma asked her. Sure enough, on another side table was an exact replica of Sabir's head, her green eyes glowing, and when she leaned down to look at it closer, she even saw the golden dots on the iris that made her look so endearing. "Father Zeno will be happy about that," he said excitedly, carefully grabbed his head and placed it on the avatar's shoulders. It fit like a glove.